Our gospel reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, reading from the second and third chapters. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest, and he ate the bread of presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill it?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart, and he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have given us rules that guide us in our life and community. And yet we know that sometimes those rules get in the way of doing good and being kind to your people. Help us discern always, O God, right from wrong, and your will and way from the will and way of the world. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So, some of you think I have control issues. Stop laughing, John. Obviously, just because the Christ candle has to be absolutely perfectly centered on the table, and the table has to be perfectly centered with the cross, you've come to that conclusion, I guess. And you believe I'm totally obsessive about details, but I challenge you to take a look at the mess on my desk any day, and I doubt you would come to the same conclusion. We all have things over which we obsess, I'm sure, and I'm no different. So please, just don't breathe on the Christ candle when you go by the table, in case it shifts a millimeter to the left or the right, because it will throw me off for the whole of worship. And if there are rules which have been established for the good of the community, I would prefer we don't mess with them. Some of you have seen that side of me surface this week. I also rediscovered that about myself last week in Washington. No one really seems to obey traffic signals for pedestrians there, and I stayed in a hotel in one of the circles downtown. That meant whenever I wanted to get anywhere, I had to make my way across 4 or 5 crosswalks. And I discovered really quickly that nobody seems to have either the time or the patience there to wait for the little walk signal. So they just watch traffic and they bolt across whenever they feel like it. Not me. I stood obediently in 37-degree weather waiting for the light to change and for that little man to tell me it was okay to walk. It took me forever to go anywhere. So imagine the intensity of my angst when I found out there was going to be a walk to the White House to read 6 declarations of faith which had been written on Ash Wednesday by local clergy and bishops in Washington. And I'll tell you more about those declarations by the end of the sermon. But first, let me remind you of several things about the context there, and perhaps especially at the preaching conference, that differs from our Canadian context. So first of all, the African American church is huge in the U.S. So at these conferences, they make up a large number of both the participants and the leaders, which makes for absolutely amazing preaching, I might say. And in fact, most of our sessions were held in the church that Obama used to attend during his time in office. And in fact, Bishop Curry, the now famous bishop who preached at the royal wedding, was one of the leaders on this walk to the White House. Now, let me also remind you, I'm sure I don't need to, but let me remind you that black people still get shot in America, sometimes for no good reason. So, off we go on Thursday evening after dark on this walk to the White House, being told before we leave that this is not civil disobedience, that the police will in fact be blocking off streets to ensure our easy passage and safety, but we do believe in civil disobedience should it become necessary. Ha! Good Lord, save me from any breaking of the rules, I prayed under my breath. So off we go, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000, 2,500 of us. Little me, he won't even cross the street until the walk signal comes up in the middle of the crowd, telling myself this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience and it would not look good on me if I bolt out of the crowd or if I come back here and try to explain to all of you why I didn't participate. So when we arrive on Mr. Trump's doorstep, well, actually on the grass across the street from his massive front lawn, an announcement is made that we have been directed not to proceed onto the roadway, but we're going to do it anyway. Here we go, I thought. I'm going to end up in a U.S. jail. I can see it now. Okay, so this is the point at which I would have bolted, or at least I would have just quietly disappeared from the crowd if I weren't hemmed in on every side, and if I hadn't remembered that it was a good 2-kilometer walk back to my hotel, and it was well after dark, and I really didn't want to do that walk alone. In fact, I'd rather have ended up in jail at that point, I think, than walking back alone. So I texted my good friend Mark, who worships with us here sometimes, and I said to him, "Where the hell are you? Because my claustrophobia is setting in." And I found out that the very person who had convinced me it was a good idea to do this walk, where were you, Mark? At the back of the crowd, on the sidewalk. Chicken. Never trust a man. Actually, truth be told, I think he was back there making friends with the man with the booth that was protesting something about Tibet. I mean, that's probably the real story. Okay, so end of story. The declarations were read, all was peaceful. And I am really glad I did it, because I learned in a more profound way than I have ever experienced before that rules indeed are sometimes made to be broken. Our scripture reading today reminds us that Jesus was not one to follow rules simply for the good of being an obedient person. In fact, he was quite well known for saying, "You have heard it said, this is what we used to be told, but I say to you," always willing to trade in the laws of the past for the imperative to love, to care for others, and to stand up for justice and fairness and equality. But it's really scary, isn't it, to be caught in between those two extremes, both of which serve a purpose in the world and in our daily lives. And we've all found ourselves caught, I'm sure, in that tight space before, having to step one way or the other and finding it hard to make the decision. The declarations that were read outside the White House, I have copied and I've attached to this week's sermon, and I've put extras on the side outside the shelf on the office. Actually, I haven't done that yet because I didn't want any of you to pick them up before the service, but I will do that. For most of us as liberal Canadian Christians, there's nothing too shocking in those declarations. The United Church especially has been fighting for equality and justice for minorities for years. We have always stood up for the rights of women, the rights of the poor, the rights of those whose sexual orientation has not been accepted by society in general. But in the American context, those basic human rights are not guaranteed either by the government or by the church. So when I looked around the crowd gathered that evening, I knew in a more profound way than ever that it was important for me to chance breaking rules of social order and conduct in order to stand with colleagues who were still not accepted because of the color of their skin, because of their sexual orientation, or because of a variety of other reasons that we might find absurd because we're so far ahead here in Canada. But then I had to ask myself the really difficult question: are we really more accepting and inclusive? When push comes to shove, do we really care about the poor? Do we really care about the refugee families we have welcomed to our country? Do we really care about young people like my friend's son, who has revealed to his parents that he is pansexual? Do we really care enough to stand up for what we believe to be right and good and just and kind, when it will mean swimming against the current and breaking rules? Do we really? So I simply want to end with reading the six declarations and asking you to think and to prayerfully consider them as an example for us as we move to the future in this community of faith. We believe each human being is made in God's image and likeness. Racial bigotry is a brutal denial of the image of God in some of the children of God. We believe we are one body in Christ. There is to be no oppression based on race, gender, identity, or class. We believe how we treat the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, the sick, and the prisoner is how we treat Christ himself. We believe that truth is morally central to our personal and public lives. Jesus promises, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We believe that Christ's way of leadership is servanthood, not domination. We support democracy not because we believe in human perfection, but because we do not. We believe Jesus when he tells us to go into all the nations making disciples. Our churches and our nations are part of an international community whose interests always surpass national boundaries. We, in turn, should love and serve the world and all its inhabitants rather than to seek first narrow nationalistic prerogatives. Thanks be to God for constantly challenging us to be bold and sometimes defiant followers of our God.